morning, everyone. It's really good to be back speaking to you again. Well, Christmas has passed, and Jesus is now a toddler. So let's see what happened when Jesus was a toddler.
Reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
So the first question is, who were the Magi? Now, we've all got images of the Magi on cards and Christmas cards and probably seen them on the telly, etc., of these three wise men arriving on camels and giving these gifts. But that's not who they were at all. They were probably, and I'll try and say this correctly, Zoroastrian priests. And it's quite interesting to look into this. The main prophet in Zoroastrianism is a prophet called Zoroaster, surprisingly enough. And they claimed, had been born to a 15-year-old virgin. And like Jesus, Zoroaster started his ministry at the age of 30, after he defeated all of Satan's temptations. He predicts that other virgins would conceive additional divinely appointed prophets as history unfolded. And Zoroastrian priests believe that they could foretell these miraculous births by reading the stars. And like the Jews, the Zoroastrian priests were anticipating the birth of the true Saviour. A lot of similarities there to the Christian story of Jesus. But there were other things as well. The Zoroastrians, their enemy, just for the Jewish people at the time, the enemy was Rome. Rome was their enemy. Because, of course, Palestine, or what we know as Israel today, had been conquered by the Romans and was ruled by the Romans. And so, of course, the rule was, that was ruled from Rome. So Rome was their enemy. And it was the same for the Zoroastrians. They disliked Rome. So there was a, if you like, a similarity. There was an understanding between Jewish and Zoroastrian peoples of the hated Romans. These priests that came to see Jesus, they probably came when he was a toddler. We're not sure if Mary and Joseph and Jesus were still living in the same house as where he'd been, as Jesus had been born, or whether they'd maybe been able to move into another house of maybe a bit better conditions. But he was in a house. And these Magi came. The Magi were known for interpreting dreams, astrology, reading the stars. They were the scientists of the day. They knew stuff. They knew medicine as well. So they were very clever people. But one of the other important things to note about this is that they were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. They were the first Gentiles that came to see Jesus. And they came. They made the very dangerous journey. They probably came from Persia, which is like Iran and Iraq. So they made the dangerous journey, and it was dangerous in those days. They didn't have the safe travel that we have. They made that journey all the way to Jerusalem to see Jesus. And when they got there, they pulled out their gifts. Gold, frankincense, and a myrrh. All of which are deeply, deeply significant. Gold is the gift for a king. Frankincense is a very priestly type of gift. Myrrh was often used for preparing people for burial. But there's something else in this that's extremely, extremely political. Because Herod the Great was ruling Israel at the time. And Herod was terrified of any threat of someone else who might come and take over his throne or the area he was ruling. And he was constantly on the lookout for enemies or people that might try and usurp him. He killed members of his family. He was quite a violent man. He was not someone that you wanted to get on the wrong side of. He really, really wasn't. And so when these wise men or these Magi came and said, by the way, we've come to see, they went to Jerusalem, which was natural. It's where they would expect a king to be born, in the capital city of Jerusalem. So they came to Jerusalem. Oh, where's the king of the Jews? We've seen his star. We want to go and see him. How do you think that made Herod the Great feel? He was scared. He was terrified. And that fear drove him to try and get rid of Jesus. The wise men, or the Magi, they found the star, they found the way to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus and gave him their gifts. By giving him those gifts, they were recognizing him as a king, as the saviour. the true king. Herod the Great was not a true king. He had an Arabian father and a mother from Arulium, not quite sure how to pronounce it, some other place. And he was what was considered to be a half-Jew. So he wasn't a genuine king. And yet here were these people arriving with a very violent king saying, "We've come to see the king." Is it any wonder that in the following part of this story, Mary, Joseph with Jesus had to flee to Egypt? But the real point of this story, the real point of the Magi coming is twofold. A, they were Gentile and they told the world, this is the real king. They demonstrated Jesus is the real king. The fact that they were Gentile said, and he's come for the whole world. He hasn't just come to save and serve the Jewish people. He's come for you and me and the rest of the world. We don't see Gentiles in Jesus' story until much later. But they were there. They were Gentiles. They said, he will save the world, not just Israel. And we see that starting to be fulfilled when we get later on in the gospel, when we get into Acts, we start to see Paul, his three missionary journeys. He didn't stay in Israel. He went out into the surrounding countries and told them about Jesus. And we see the start of the Gentiles coming to Christ and being saved. This was one of the reasons, or the reason, why Herod the Great felt he had to get rid of Jesus. Because he knew from centuries of prophecy, and we've got one in this reading, that the Messiah would be born in Jerusalem. They knew the time as well. And he knew that this was the true king. He knew. He was terrified. So, we've got the Magi. They come, they declare Jesus as the true saviour, the true king. And, of course, he was a priest as well. He was going to be the high priest. We see Gentiles coming into the story of the Jewish people. And that brought immense hope. Hope to a world that sincerely needed it. It was a world that for the Jewish people was a very dangerous one. If they lived in Israel, they were under the rule of the Romans. They were desperate for a saviour to come. Please come and free us. Jesus came and freed not only them, but us as well, from our sin, from our iniquities. He came to save the world. He came to give hope. And what of the star? Well, it's interesting, the star, because they've never really decided exactly what that star is. There's a suggestion, or the most popular suggestion now, is that it was a conjunction of Saturn and Saturn and Jupiter, because one was the sign for a king and the other was regarded as a sign for Jews. So you can see why again they would be attracted to come and find this king, this baby. They knew that the Saviour was going to be born. So they came. But as some commentators have said, this star, it did things that stars don't normally do. Stars don't normally stay above a house, a specific building. I'm sure you've all looked at the stars, and it doesn't really change. You might walk a mile or so, but the sky is still the same because the stars are so far away. But this star did move, and it went over to where Jesus was living. And often that star becomes a star of hope. But what that star pointed was to the real hope, to the baby Jesus or the toddler Jesus, who was going to save not just his people, but the world. And so for today, we can live with hope, the hope that Jesus will save us, the hope that we have from the Easter story, the hope that we have from this story, and the knowledge Jesus is the real King of everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the signs that you gave us in your son's very early days. We thank you for the Magi, and we thank you for the wonderful message that they gave us. A message of hope, but not just of hope. The message that the baby or the toddler Jesus at the time was the real king. He was a genuine king. He'd come to save his people and to save the world. And we today can come to church and know that we have that hope in our hearts. We can come to you and you are there, and we have that hope. And we say, thank you, Lord. Amen.